And if you would, please turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel 21. With the onslaught of the limitation of Christian liberties, I thought it necessary to address the subject. We are well aware of the ban on prayer in public schools. Since then, our liberties have been eroding away. The Ten Commandments are removed from display. A person is victimized if he or she takes a stand for the Lord. Christians are targeted as bigots. And preaching the Bible is construed as hate speech because it opposes the politically correct views. Christian programming is increasingly stifled, and voices for Christ are being silenced. The attacks upon Christians and churches are more frequent. And my friend, it won't be too many more years before open persecution sets in. Anti-God and anti-Christian sentiment is on the rise. From the common man on the street to those with political clout, the list of our adversaries is growing. Sadly, not all the opposition comes from the declared enemies of righteousness. Nowadays, we have defectors who switch sides, professing Christians who stand against morality, decency, conservancy, and righteousness. So in reality, the opposition is not just without, but also from within. Now, my message today has an unusual slant, but one worth mentioning, I believe. I also believe it gives warning to those of us who know Christ. Take heed, brethren, not all of the adversaries are outside Christian ranks. And the man I shall discuss today epitomizes such an adversary. You've probably never heard a message on this, but I'm going to speak to you a message entitled Doeg. We're going to talk about a man today, and his name is Doeg. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house, those who are able to be with us, and I ask that you would bless that the message that you've laid upon my heart for this time would go out in power by your Spirit. And Lord, in the intention of which it is offered, and I pray that you would just work it on every heart, that those of us who are saved rejoice in the salvation we have, and Lord, would be take warning of what we see in our society and the increasing adversarial roles that people are taking, and help us to be found true and faithful, and grant us grace if persecution comes in our lifetime, and Lord, help us to stand true that even unto death. And we do pray for anyone here in our midst today that's lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus Christ, that although they may not be described just like Doeg, as we look at in a few moments, they're still lost. They still need a Savior, and I pray that you would convict them and save them today. And so we offer these things to you today. We honor you, and we love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk to you about an Old Testament character that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 21, a fellow by the name of Doeg. And what I'm going to do is give you a historical context. It'll be necessary for you to see this, and so there will be passages that you'll need to read along with, and so we will offer this to you so that you have a good idea who this fellow is. What we find in the Old Testament scriptures, you come into Samuel, is that King Saul and David have been playing a cat and mouse game. And Saul has made several attempts to kill David. And as we approach our text in 1 Samuel, that, we find that David is seeking to know the mind of Saul. And so Jonathan, who's Saul's son, and David agrees on a plan. David is to hide himself in the field, missing supper at the king's table. Jonathan is to find out his father's attitude and then return to the field and let David know. So David stays away and Jonathan covers for him. On the second day, we know that Saul and his son argue over David. Thus, evil is determined against David. So Jonathan goes to the field at the appointed time, sending forth a young lad and then shooting three arrows. And the boy runs after the arrows, and Jonathan yells to the boy, "Are not the arrows beyond you?" And this was a sign to David that he was to flee. Now, after the boy gathers the arrows, Jonathan sends him back into the city. And David and Jonathan meet, they cry together, they say their goodbyes, and David leaves. In chapter 21, David comes to Ahimelech. Let's look at verse 1. 1 Samuel 21:1. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of the truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand a spear or a sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah. Behold, it is here wrapped in the cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is none other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it to me. So after that, David flees and he goes to Gath. And soon afterward, he runs to the cave of Adullam, and then later on to Moab. Then David returns to Judah, chapter 22, verse 5 tells us. And Saul hears that David returns and seeks to go after him. 22, verse 7. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjaminites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? That all of you have conspired against me, and there is none of that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me? Or showeth unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day? Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Well, because of this, Saul calls Ahimelech and all the other priests in for questioning, which is verse 11 down through verse 15. But King Saul, he didn't believe that Ahimelech was innocent. So look at verse 16, chapter 22. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand was also is with David, because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear the linen ephod. We're going to stop right there, but we find that then Abiathar, one of the sons, escapes and he goes to David. And so I've given you a great deal of information. You saw Doeg spattered out throughout the reading that we offered unto you. So as we think about this one individual, as we see this man in our spotlight, note again, chapter 22, verse 7 says that, well, it mentions Doeg witnessed the interchange between David and Ahimelech. Chapter 22, verse 9 and verse 10, Doeg gives account of what he saw. In chapter 22, verse 18 and verse 19, Doeg kills the priest, which we just finished reading about. But then in verse 22 of chapter 22, there's a mention here about how David had a sense of danger upon seeing Doeg. Now, from these evidences, which I've just referred you to, I'm going to develop a characteristic of Doeg and make application that I trust will be a blessing unto you and help as you go forward in this life and realize that there are some that are out there just like that. Let's talk about Doeg. That's the man of our concern today. The first thing I want to offer unto you is that he was where he ought not to have been. Now you just have to think about this for a little moment. Let it set upon your heart. We found in chapter 22 and in verse 19, and we'll look at this later, but it says that the Nob was the city of the priests. If you go back and you look in chapter 21, at the first verse, it says that David fled to Nob. And so that's where he went to, and that's where he met up with Ahimelech. But this was the city of the priests. And the Nob was located near Jerusalem and probably on the east slope of Mount Scopus, which is northeast of Jerusalem. They don't know exactly where this place was, but somewhere in that vicinity. Now, what's the big deal here about Doeg being in the city of the priests? Well, as you think about this guy, first of all, I want to point out to you, as we read this in verse 7, and our outline offers verse 7 as a text, as it were, but it tells us that Doeg was an Edomite. Edomites were of the children of Esau, and, well, they were not, even though they were of the Abrahamic family and all that kind of thing, well, they just really didn't get along with Israel too much. It was a foreign land. It was a foreign nation, if you will. And what we find here is here's Saul, who's the king of Israel, first king, by the way. Who does he have in a very high-ranking position within his cabinet, as it were? He has a foreigner. He has a guy that's not even an Israelite. This guy is an Edomite. And really, it was the Israelites were not supposed to have that kind of interaction with all the foreign enemies that were around them. But here's King Saul, a man high in his cabinet position, was an Edomite. Now, you'll notice in verse 7 of chapter 21, it also says that this Edomite was the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And so, here's a fellow that he's up there. That is Doeg. Now, for some reason, I said that he's where he ought not to have been. For some reason, Doeg was in the house of the Lord, or over in Nob, and could witness all these things. He was in or near the house of worship there. And you say, well, how do you know that's a house of worship there? Well, I think it's evident from the passage if you look back in chapter 21. And you'll notice in verse 4, we won't read the text, but you'll find that David spoke to Ahimelech about some food. And he said, we don't have anything here, but what we do have is the hallowed bread. And I trust that you recall that when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness and God instructed Moses to construct the tabernacle in the wilderness, that he made that tent, that when there were two places, or two rooms, as it were, within the tabernacle of witness. And there was the holy place, and then there was the holy of holies. And the priests could go in into the holy place, and they were to serve every day within the holy place. But in the holy of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant resided, they could only go once a year. And that's where they offered up the blood upon the mercy seat for the atonement of the children of Israel. But as they went into the holy place, that first area, or first room, as it were, when they go into the room, to the right was a table of showbread, to the left was a candlestick, and right before them was the altar of incense. On the table of showbread, the priests were commanded to make loaves of bread, 12 loaves of bread in representation of the nation of Israel, and that was holy for the priests. Now I submit unto you, as they come to the city of the priest here, and David has this exchange with Ahimelech, we need something to eat. He says, we don't have any common bread, but I do have the show bread. We have the hallowed bread. This is a place of worship. This is the place of the service of the priests. This is where they went in to worship God. All they had, though, was the show bread. Place of worship, wasn't it? Down in chapter 21 and verse 9, when he makes a reference to, David says, well, do you have any weapons here? And he says, well, we have Goliath's sword. Now, that's an interesting thing that all this time it's been missing. But now he has Goliath's sword, and it's behind the ephod. Ephod was another item that was directed by Moses as they traveled through the wilderness and they set up the tabernacle and all that. It was a form of the raiment for the priests. And the ephod was a sacred vestment originally worn by the high priest. It was made of gold and purple and blue and scarlet and fine twined linen, and it had cunning work, the book of Exodus will tell us. And attached to the ephod was by chains was a pure gold, a breastplate that contained 12 precious stones. So if you've ever seen pictures of the high priest, he has on the priestly garments, and he has on the ephod with the breastplate upon it and the 12 stones. And in that ephod, by the way, they would keep the Urim and the Thummim, which they made judgment by knowing God's will, discerning of by those stones. But the fact that there was the showbread present and the ephod was present tells me that this was where the tabernacle resided as they came out of the wilderness. And you said, but I thought they had the temple. Not yet. That was built by Solomon. They still went from place to place and from tent to tent. And I believe the city of Nob here was where this was, the tent was tabernacled. And this was the house of God. This is the worship, that the center of worship for the children of Israel. And so we know this was the city of the priests, and this is where the priests would then serve before God. But here's Doeg, the Edomite. Here David comes to Ahimelech, and Doeg witnesses this. Now, we read in our passage down in chapter 22 and verse 9 and verse 10 how that Doeg fairly gave an accurate description. It was a fair description. It wasn't perfect, but he gave a fairly accurate description of the events between David and Ahimelech. But here's a guy where he should not have been, close enough to hear the words between David and Ahimelech and everything that took place. Now, you'll notice in chapter 21, verse 7, I think this is an important statement because it says in the middle part of that verse that Doeg was detained before the Lord. In the house of God, in the city of the priests, the place of worship, Doeg was detained before the Lord. But I have to ask the question, why in the world was he there? He had no religious duty. He wasn't a priest. He didn't offer a priest. He wasn't even an Israelite. Now, maybe... since he was in the cabinet of King Saul, he decided to, as it were, be a proselyte. And maybe he showed up to this place of worship to offer up some sort of sacrifices or to bring gifts. We don't know, but perhaps that was why he was there. Maybe he had some other act of religion or other kind of worship that he showed up there. I don't know why he was there, but I know that the guy's out of place. He doesn't belong. And here's the Edomite. And as we see more about his character, you'll see how this flourishes a little bit for you. He's in a place where he ought not to have been. But I'll tell you, regardless of the reason why he was there, I offer unto you, the Scripture makes it clear for us that by the providence of God he was there. He was detained there before the Lord. I submit unto you, when we think about Doeg, first of all, he was where he should not have been. Secondly, if you look into chapter 22, verse 22, the middle part of the verse, I want to demonstrate for you momentarily how that his character was known that as a self-seeking individual. What kind of man was Doeg? Well, in chapter 22 and verse 22, the middle part of that verse, David says, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul. Now, how did David know that? Now, here's a man of high position. We already said that. We noticed in chapter 21, verse 7, this is the Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen of Saul. Did David, when he was with King Saul, before he had to flee from his presence, would he been aware of Doeg? Would he have not had interaction with Doeg on a regular basis? David was very active in the kingdom, and he went out and fought wars for the king. Would he know Doeg? Now, I submit unto you that because Doeg was in this high position, I mentioned that his characteristic was that of a self-seeking individual. And by the way, high position isn't a crime. There's nothing wrong with that. But it tells us something about this guy that, you know what, this fella had a plan, he had a purpose, he worked hard, he was diligent, he was a person that could ascend the ranks, as it were. And I mean, here's a foreigner that got a very high-ranking position in the kingdom of Israel. The guy had something about him that he was driven, wasn't he? I kind of have the idea that it was all about Doeg, which I think we'll demonstrate as we continue on. Not everybody that's successful is all about themselves. I understand that. Don't misunderstand me. But Doeg, I think he was a self-seeking individual. And David knew that because after the fact, when he looks back on everything that's taken place and the killing of the priests and all that, David says, you know, that day I saw him there, I knew that was a problem. You know why? Because he knew Doeg. He knew the guy's heartbeat. You glance back there at chapter 22, verse 8 and verse 9. Remember when Saul, when he started to go out and seek for David, and he says, "Don't any of you have any compassion on me? Aren't you any of you sorry for me at all? Okay. Is everybody against me?" And Saul's playing this card of, "Well, you know, I'm all alone and nobody's helping me." And Doeg, you know what? In chapter 22, verse 8 and verse 9, he was quick to jump at Saul's request. Man, and he says, "Don't anybody of you show that there's a conspiracy against me? My son's against me." Verse 9, then answered Doeg the Edomite. He was willing to pop up the information. Nobody had anything to say, but Doeg, he was volunteering. "Here's me, pick me up." That's the kind of guy that he was. He sees an opportunity here, doesn't he? King's asking for help. Nobody's helping him. This is my opportunity to really step up. And he does that. And of course, you'll find later on in chapter 22, verse 18, which we read in the text after the king wanted to kill the priest, nobody would do it. He turned to Doeg and he said, "You do this." And, you know, Doeg would do anything to get ahead. Am I making this up? Is this an improper conclusion? Doeg had no qualms about killing the priest. In fact, I can just almost see his face lighten up when the king turns to him and says, "Kill the priest." Right on. Good enough for me. This is a big advancement for Doeg. You know why? Because this guy was a self-seeking individual and he was in the place that he ought not to have been. Do you see his character unfolding? Look then into chapter 22, verse 10. Here's a guy. Here's something else about Doeg that you need to understand. And this is kind of like an earmark for some of these individuals too. Just a vast majority of them will do this very same thing. He added to the facts. When I mentioned about his account to the king, I said he gave a fairly accurate description. But he didn't give an accurate description, did he? Chapter 22, verse 10. And he's telling the king, he says, David came and he inquired, and he asked for help from Ahimelech, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Three things Doeg the Edomite offers unto him. And and what was true about that? Did Ahimelech give David bread? Yes. Did Ahimelech give David the sword of Goliath? Yes. Did Ahimelech inquire of God for David? No, he did not. Old Doeg here sees this open door, and he says, "Well, this happened, and oh, by the way, he inquired of God for him." You say, "Well, what's the big deal about that?" Well, do you remember reading through the passage? And I skipped through some of the verses. If you didn't see any of those things, go back, look through, read it this afternoon. And you'll find that when King Saul asked Ahimelech, "Hey, I heard you inquired of David to the Lord." And Ahimelech says, "I did not. No, I didn't do anything. I didn't speak to God and find out God's will for him. Didn't do it." King didn't believe him. He believed Doeg over the priest. But here's a guy that added to the facts. Now look in chapter 22, verse 18. After King Saul doesn't believe the priest, he's going to have him executed. And so in verse 18, the king said to Doeg, "Turn thou and fall upon the priest." And Doeg the Edomite turned and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear the linen ephod. He killed 85 priests that had showed up for interrogation by King Saul. And he did it because King said, "Do this." Doeg said, "Sure, no problem." He had no fear of God. You back up to verse 17. The king first told his servants, the Israelite soldiers. It says in verse 17, the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, "Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand is also with David. And because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me, but the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord." They wouldn't do it. They had enough reverence for God. They would not hurt the priest. The soldiers wouldn't do it. That's when the king looks to Doeg. "Got a job for you." Doeg says, "I'm your man." These soldiers reverenced the priest. These soldiers had some reverence toward God. At least they feared God to some extent. But Doeg did not. Didn't bother him in the least. Look at chapter 22, verse 19. I'll tell you something else you see about Doeg. Notice that he was zealous in his pursuit of evil. And Nob, the city of the priests, he just not only killed the priests that were there. Look what he does. He smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and suckling and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. This guy didn't stop with the killing of the priests. He went to the city and wiped out everything. Person and beast. Killed them all. Do you think Doeg was a self-seeking individual? Do you think he was zealous? Do you think he was corrupt? Ah, that's the kind of guy Doeg is. One other passage, and you'll have to turn to the book of Psalms for this one. Psalm 52. Psalm 52. I submit unto you that simply Doeg is a wicked man. Psalm 52. Read the introduction in Hebrews, the first verse. To the chief musician, Maskell, a psalm of David. Notice what he writes. When Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. Psalm 52, David writes about Doeg. Here's what he says. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah, that's a musical rest. Stop and think on this. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away, and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that hath not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like the green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. You see David's description of Doeg? It's not very flattering, is it? Doeg was a wicked man. And what's the application? If you'll consider it, my friend, Doeg speaks all the time in our society. He's all the time crying out religious harassment, oppression. Go to the city schools and try to pray. They're going to say, oh, you can't do that. Can't mix church and state. Try to go to the workplace and be public about your testimony for Jesus Christ. You're not allowed to do that. Doeg's all the time saying, no, you Christians, you just have way too much influence and you're not allowed to put that stuff on us. They're the ones that make the mistakes of Christians very readily apparent. I mean, they throw it all on. I'm not saying that the mistakes and sin of Christians ought to be hidden, but they'll put it on the front page while they'll put other things deep in the paper. Do you know why? Because they're Doegs. Anything to go against Christianity, that's what they're going to do. And they claim nowadays it's getting worse and worse. They're claiming discrimination and bigotry. And it's coming down to each of us. If you take a stand and say, we think this is morally corrupt, we're called bigots. We're the ones that are found to be the adversary. Doegs are those who are in opposition to Christianity. But I'll tell you, my friend, it's just not from without. It's also from within. That's the amazing thing. And one other thing about these Doegs, you know, they embellish the facts. It's not uncommon for them to just, well, take a little literary license here. They're very good at that. And they'll take something and they'll run with it and they'll add to it and they'll grow it up. And you know what? You look at the paper and watch the news or whatever and you think, wow, no wonder these Christians are, they kind of deserve it. They didn't deserve it at all. It's just what they present to you. The media is like that. Doegs are speaking all the time. Doegs are quick to speak out against God's servants. And it's going to get worse and worse, those of us who take a stand for Jesus Christ and hold the true biblical Christianity. You know what? We're the offenders. You're going to be the offender. And Doeg's going to be out there saying, you're the blame. It's your fault. We got to get rid of you. Be on guard, my friend. I'm warning you today. Because Doeg is self-seeking, he's self-advancing, he's self-promoting, and he's destructive to the work of God. Doeg is a wicked person, zealous of his evil ways. He's one that does not fear God. But remarkably, as I expressed unto you too often, way too often, he is found in the house of worship, in a place, a position where he ought not to be. You say it's not true. My friend, all you have to do is pay attention to what's going on in our society and among professing Christians. I saw a book listed the other day where a professing Christian was promoting immorality. Well, it happens. That's Doeg in my book. And I think we need to be aware that they are around. So let me offer you in conclusion. Perhaps the warning I've extended today seems unwarranted to you, but I would urge you to consider the times in which we live. Christianity is abused while everything else is exalted. Have you noticed that? Christians are to keep silent while the liberals and the God-haters speak loud and clear. They can say anything they want. We can't lift our voice at all. Christians are not to impact or sway society for righteousness' sake, while the ungodly carry out their evil agenda. Did you know that last year evangelical Christians were earmarked as a terrorist group? The rights and freedoms offered to all people within our borders are sometimes denied Christians. I didn't say all the time, but sometimes denied Christians. A Christian is not allowed to pray in a workplace, but Muslims are permitted to do so. Do you know that? Christians are considered the bane of politicians while ungodly people are exalted to positions of high authority. The wicked can spew their filthiness and their vile speech, but Christians are censored and told to keep quiet. Doegs of this world are definitely in control, aren't they? And they hate God and they hate God's people. But as I've already warned, some of those doegs come from within. Professing Christians are backing corrupt leaders, promoting the world's evil and immoral agenda, and they speak and write in opposition to biblical views and conservative perspectives. But in these last days, it should be no marvel to us. After all, we read, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come," Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1. Follow that up with a list of evil people who, sad to say, he says in verse 5, have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Now these are people who look to be like Christians, and they profess it, but they deny the power thereof. Further, it was Paul who warned that, and I quote, where false brethren were unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And again, it was Paul who said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Doegs not only from without, they come from within. And therefore, I say, let us seek God first and foremost. As true Bible believers, as true Christians, would God that we would be as God would have us to be. Let us be true. Let us be faithful. Let us be pure. Let us be godly. Let us seek God first and foremost. Let us ensure that quality people are in positions of authority, whether it be civil positions or spiritual positions. You ought not be voting the doegs into office, and you ought not be putting them as pastors and associate pastors and deacons, and they don't belong. So let us beware of the doegs without and within. Let us be warned of what doeg can do. Very destructive fellow. And if you're here today and you're lost, yeah, you might not have the conduct and the character of Doeg, but you're still lost. And you still need the Savior, just as much as any Doeg needs the Savior. David said judgment should come upon Doeg and the people that will laugh at him at the judgment when he's taken away from the land of the living. But you read Psalm 52 and the description that David offered of Doeg, how vile and corrupt and evil he was, but yet he was still in the house of the Lord. I just can't quite put that together. And yet I see it in our society, where professing Christians are standing up and they oppose biblical truth, they oppose biblical morality, they oppose righteousness, and yet they say we're Christians. They're doegs is what they are. Be warned, my friend. Get your head out of the sand, look around, see what's going on. Realize what's happening in our society. Let us be true. Sinner, would you be saved? May we who are Christians be encouraged that we would follow Christ. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I told you at the start that this was a little different slant. And so it was. I've been honest with you, but I trust that it's been beneficial to some degree, that God would speak to you and that Christians would be encouraged, but also be warned what we see in our society. So let us be as we should be. Father, thank you for the day. Forgive us for our sins. Draw us unto you. We do pray for those that are lost in our midst, that you would convict them of their sins, that they might be saved. We pray that you would bring them to Jesus Christ. And I ask, O God, as we serve and you in this world, and as we walk through this life, help us to be true, help us to be faithful. And Father, help us to be aware of the doegs and know the damage which they can do. And Lord, let us be in opposition to them. Let us not support them. Let us always be following you. We do pray for the doegs and all the lost that they be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?